piece is consideration of our Zoom meeting minutes from June 2nd. They were distributed with your packet, and I would welcome your consideration.
This is Carolyn Dahl. I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Carolyn.
I'll second.
Thank you, George. I have a motion and a second. All in favor of approval of the minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item is public comment. Rita, are you aware of anybody that's joined or anyone that would like to make public comment this afternoon?
No.
Very good. Then we will close the public comment and move into consideration of purchase of Lewis Street Transit Hub. And I think I'm going to turn it over to Bonnie.
Okay. All right. Thank you. It's good to see everybody. Some of you all know about an opportunity that we have to purchase what we call the Lewis Street Hub. It's in downtown Stanton. It is served as the hub for the Bright Transit system, and before that it was the hub for the CAT system when Virginia Regional Transit ran the system. So the property is owned by American Shakespeare Company. They have reached out to us to say that they are interested in selling it. As you know, the pandemic has wreaked havoc on the entertainment industry and the live theater and arts and the cultural sector of our economy been very hard hit, and American Shakespeare and the Blackfriars Theater are no exception. So very anxious to sell this property that they have a loan on currently. We had offered to them that we could lease the property from them, but they were anxious to sell the property. They need the funds to be able to pay off the debt that they have. We think that this property is critical to the Bright bus system. And I'll let Nancy talk a little bit about that in a minute, about why it's so important. The American Shakespeare giving us the right of first refusal before they put it out on the market and advertise it to anyone that wants to purchase it. We're afraid that if someone else purchases it, we would be asked to vacate it, and it would be quite disruptive to the entire Bright bus system. We are wanting to meet with the executive committee this evening to get your approval on moving forward with the purchase agreement to American Shakespeare. They've asked that we submit something to them by the end of December. That's why we've asked Jordan to join us to talk about how that contract could be structured and going forward. So I think you all know what's at hand and what we need to make a decision on. We do have the funds available to purchase the property. These funds are transit funds only. There were some concerns about whether localities outside of the Bright service area would be contributing to the purchase of this, and that is not the case. Only funds that come from our transit partners, which include Augusta Health, Blue Ridge Community College, Woodrow Wilson, Department of Social Service, and the three localities of Augusta, Stanton, and Waynesboro, contribute to our transit program. No other localities contribute, and none of the funds go into running the Bright system nor purchasing the property. So I know there were some questions about how this would be paid for. I'd like for Nancy to take a few minutes to describe how we use this site and how critical it is to the Bright bus system.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good to be with everyone again. Just wanted to talk a little bit and not repeat exactly what's in the executive summary of the item, but the hub, the Lewis Street Hub, is a critical piece of the public transportation service, the Bright service, in that it provides a safe and secure location where every hour on the hour, four buses and the downtown trolley meet. People can board the buses, they can depart the buses, or they can transfer between the buses. There are bus shelters on the lot, as you could see on the photos, where riders can wait for the buses out of the weather. The lot is well lit, so I think riders feel very secure there. The 250 connector route of the Bright system that runs from Waynesboro to Stanton actually terminates there on the western end. The Blue Ridge Community College shuttle terminates there on its southern end. And then the Stanton bus routes, including the historic trolley and the access service, which is for primarily for ADA riders, also comes in there every hour. Prior to the pandemic, there were passenger counts performed on that lot, and 2,286 riders either accessed or departed a bus at that hub during a one-week period. As part of our work on this, we looked at other potential locations in the city of Stanton that we could be used for a hub. We vetted them for ADA accessibility because we do load a lot of wheelchairs and scooters, and we also need riders who use those to be able to access the buses. We needed 170 linear feet of parking space for the buses. It is optimal to have one entrance and one exit because backing a bus or maneuvering a bus on a parking lot is a pretty unsafe movement. We wanted there to be minimal disruption to the current routing and timing because all these routes are timed to arrive there at the same time and depart at the same time, and that allows the transfers. Wanted to have space for two bus shelters because there are, as you can tell by the numbers, there are quite a few people that use the service. Needed it to be lit, of course, and then did not want it to have negative impacts to the site or the neighborhood. And we did not find any location that was optimal like the Lewis Street Hub is. So I think that's why we kind of settled on trying to stay there if it's at all possible.
Thank you, Nancy. Chairman Friedman, would you like Gordon to discuss the contract, or do we want to have an open discussion about it? And I don't know if he needed to make any comments at this point. Or
sure. From a process standpoint, my perception is you spoke with all the executive board members, and we're in agreement, support of moving forward with this purchase. Strategic purchase. It would need to have the blessing or approval of the full board, which we would anticipate later. But perhaps at this point, Jordan can put forward details relative to the actual contract and the process for purchasing it. I'm not sure if he'll discuss or if Lee or Bonnie will discuss a purchase price of $185,000. With $144,000 in reserve. I'm not great with numbers, but those don't add up. I know there's some other funds to be utilized, but then we can have further discussion perhaps about the $144,000, draining that, what that means, and whether that's a responsible thing to do or how we get to the finish line on this. But my perception and the basis we're working from at this point is that everyone's been briefed, just what we've all received, and the notes in the packet And we're continuing, no one has an objection to moving forward with working towards securing. If you do, wave your hand. Otherwise, we'll proceed with Jordan's. I see no hands. Wait, oh, yes.
I just want to make a general comment. While the county supports the purchase of this property as an integral part of the Bright Transit system, the county does not think that the PDC should be in the business of operating a bus program, and that the goal should continue to be, as it was initially established to be, an interim, where this would eventually become a part of either Stanton, Augusta, or Waynesboro, or some entity formed by them as an authority, either as a threesome or as a onesome, whatever that might look like. So we still maintain that the PDC's ultimate role here should not be to continue to own and operate a transit system, but to pass that on to an authority that's separate from the PDC. But yes, we will support the purchase.
Just as a point of clarification, you said the county. I know that Rockingham is number one on your hit parade, but just to clarify, you're speaking on behalf of Rockingham County with that statement.
Of course, yes, because I'm only representing Rockingham County.
Very good. I just want to clearly identify for anybody listening or eliminate any confusion. And thank you for those comments. Anyone else have comments? Sitting your last time. Jordan, go ahead and proceed with contract details, what this looks like, and then we'll open the floor for discussion.
If the executive committee is in favor of moving forward with the purchase this evening, what we would propose proceeding to do would be, I would begin to draft a purchase agreement between the CSPDC and the Shakespeare organization. And that would include the key terms such as the purchase price. It would also, you mentioned, Mr. Friedman, that this is something that would need to go back before the full commission. And typically what I like to do when I have a real estate acquisition that a local government body is doing is that I include a contingency that that the contract and the governmental entity's obligation to follow through on that is contingent on approval by whatever the ultimate governing body would be. And in this case, that would be the CSPDC full commission. And so ideally, we would go ahead and get a draft agreement to the Shakespeare organization with some of the best terms that we could, and then have that either signed by them or have those terms ironed out prior to the full commission's meeting in December or the next full commission's meeting, depending on how quickly we're able to come to an understanding of that. I would like to include some sort of study period to give the CSPDC an opportunity to potentially think about whether there's any environmental assessment needed or not, or if we're comfortable with that. And to also, I've looked at the deed into the Shakespeare organization, but I haven't done a full title examination on the property. And so typically when the CSPDC buys real estate, we get title insurance and we'd have a title agreement to do that. And all of the obligations to close would be contingent on those things coming back clean. Now, the Shakespeare organization is probably very eager to get this closed. And once the CSPDC has it locked under contract, we're probably less eager. You know, we'd rather have a longer study period. And I don't know exactly what the duration of that would end up being. We can see as we negotiate. 60 days would probably be sufficient. 90 days would be even better. 120 would be even better. But I would think that we could get a title examination and environmental, if we want to do an environmental, done within 60 days. I'm happy to answer any questions about that, but those are some of the general thoughts that I have.
Members have any questions for Jordan? Jordan, I like the overall process with which you discussed. My perception is that the longer the better, from our perspective, because we can always ramp it up and do it faster. But it's all, to me, I guess my experience has been if you, you have 60 days, you can get crossed up pretty quickly.
I agree with you. I simply don't know. I think there might be some urgency on their end and to what extent we can stretch that out. I forgot to mention one other thing, if I may, which is that the city of Stanton currently leases part of this property and is interested in continuing to do so. And that would be another piece that we would attempt to sort of iron out those details during the study period so that we had a clear understanding of what that would look like as between the CSPDC and the city of Stanton before we were locked into our obligation to close.
Right. And to that point, that was the direction I was heading, is that the genesis of this, Shakespeare originally engaged the city of Stanton, who has declined or chosen not to purchase the property. And it seems important to me for transparency and also for just procedural that the city of Stanton acknowledge that and or endorse that they're comfortable with us purchasing it as soon as we get to that point. But I'd hate for us to get a year down the road and there be, oh, the PDC stole it from Stanton or some political nonsense. We're a very transparent regional entity. And unless there's something I don't know, I think we should have something from the city of Stanton saying we're going to pass on this property and support the PDC in its purchase or something to that effect. Not that it's necessarily contractual with the Shakespeare, but I think as a matter of professionalism and being pragmatic, that we should look at something. And appreciate your insights.
I'd like to ask, would Carolyn Dole, do you want to maybe speak to that and how we could garner the support from the city of Stanton on this?
It's very clear that we don't want to buy it. I think that's been made clear. I don't know exactly what you want. I would think that Steve Rosenberg could write a letter that would say that, you know, whatever language you want, because it's my understanding that the city is still gonna do snow removal and kind of maintenance, and that's probably going to be in the agreement that Jordan was talking about.
It, part and parcel, we're overlapped somewhat, and if Rosenberg or can provide that, or if there are minutes from a meeting where the city of Stanton has said, we're not interested in buying this property and have no objection to someone else buying it, that would suffice for me. I just want it properly documented that they passed on it.
September 10th minute would have it.
Is it a no action? Save me the time of looking it up. Was it the city took no action on an offer or took action not to accept?
We had voted to purchase the property. There was subsequent to that, there was an election with new council members. Those council members did not want to buy it, and so they voted to renege on the contract. There you have it.
Fair enough. I didn't realize that was the circumstance. Pretty transparent. Thank you.
And just to further respond, Mr. Friedman, I do think I defer to the city of Stanton on who would execute the document, but that we would have something either from Mr. Rosenberg or the council regarding the maintenance and the other obligations.
Absolutely. Any other members or staff have questions or issues? Well, I've got a couple. I'm not sure who to direct them to exactly, but I know, Bonnie, one of the things we've talked about consistently is that revenues generated by the big building can only be used for transportation. And if I'm reading my minutes or my briefing correctly, we have 144,000 that's accumulated in there. Is that accurate?
Yes, yes, partially accurate. There is 144,000 that we generated from one source, and that was the lease, the former lease we had with Augusta Health. We also generate revenues when we advertise on the buses, so there's that funding. We also generate funds from local contributions that we hold in reserve for matches on future grants or capital expenses that we need. So there is adequate funds in the reserve fund to purchase a property at $185,000. I guess my point in the briefing was that the majority of that is coming from the lease that we have from Augusta Health. So there are adequate funds to be able to purchase it.
How much money do we have held exclusively for transportation?
In the transit fund, I'm going to let Lee talk about that. That money goes up and down depending on when we get our state and federal grants in and when as money comes in. And we also, I think you might recall that we sent that money, we sent it down to Virginia Investment Pool to earn interest, and we've generated interest over the last couple of years as well.
That's true. Our advertising interest and lease payments are in excess of what our purchase price is. Now, in any given month, we spend between $100,000 and $175,000 paying VRT, Virginia Regional Transit, who hires the drivers and runs the buses. So that plays into what our balance is in any given month for the transit system.
Forgive me if I sound naive. Our city of Lexington has a general fund,
right?
That we have a certain portion of it has to be allocated to be compliant. Some of it's there for cash flow, and we certainly don't want to tap into a line of credit to pay our bills on a monthly basis. And I guess that's part of where I'm trying to wrap my head around what that number is. I realize there's ebb and flow, and we've got a large check that we pay every month.
Sure. I think
if we've been accumulating money, you know, is it 180,000? Is it 580,000? That's, if you will, identified as, I'll say, not necessarily surplus, but excess revenue that we've accumulated.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And I'm not trying to get off track, but we have, we have a general fund, and then we have five governmental funds, the two MPOs, EDA, ARC, and then we have a transit governmental fund that's by itself.
Right.
And everything that is not, I will be corrected where I'm wrong, but everything that's not obligated to a governmental fund ends up in the general fund, as do the pools of money, which are at Virginia Investment Pool. They are segregated or earmarked for transit. Each of the three transit buckets, rural, urban, and the facility, all have their own account. So they're completely separate, just to be clear.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
I think you're going where I was going to ask.
Okay. Well, in total, we have more than enough to cover the purchase of this from the interest, the lease payments, and the advertising. But total, we have just shy of 800,000 in reserve.
Okay. So when you look at the three transit buckets, it's about 800,000.
Yes. And now some of that is earmarked for the building, which is to, if the roof starts leaking, we have to repair that, what have you. Yes, sir.
You never have too much cash.
It doesn't hurt, no, sir.
Exactly.
When you're gonna need them.
That's incredibly helpful, because as I in my private conversation with Bonnie and the gang was, what problems or maintenance are we buying? And it's great the city of Canton will contractually clear it, but when it needs to be repaved and striped and you know, some reveler takes out the stands where people can get out of the elements right now, we're on the hook for that, and to make sure that we have a decent sized bucket to support that is my concern for the commission. Looking, I know, I guess you're still waiting to find out, but from a zoning standpoint and covenants on the property, there's nothing restrictive that you're aware of, George?
Not that I'm aware of. The current use would be the continued use. So I don't see any issue from a zoning standpoint on that. Now, what I have not done is an analysis of what would the other possible uses be. But that's certainly something we can look into and report when this comes back to the full commission, if you're interested.
Terrific. And then the last question I have ties in with Rhonda's observation. When we originally stepped in to provide this conduit to make the best of a bad situation with this unique circumstance, part of what we talked about was a future exit strategy. And to Rhonda's point, I think unless PDC changes their mission to be a transit authority, which we haven't discussed or hasn't been brought forward, we should always be looking at how this will look in the future. And perhaps an exit strategy versus an expansion. I realize this is very timely, very unique, and as good stewards to help our jurisdiction provide good transit in a good situation, it makes all the sense in the world, and it's not costing any of the other municipalities any dollars or the only thing I can think is that it's somewhat distraction of energy perhaps, but that's minimal impact for, I think, the net effect for the Stanton, Augusta, Waynesboro members of this PDC. So I just make that statement, and then I'll offer, is there anyone else who would like to either make a statement or ask a question? Mr. Short, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I would just unmuting myself. I would just offer that I appreciated the presentation from the other week, Bonnie and staff, and I think under the conditions, it's something that I certainly would support.
Terrific. I think consideration of this is the next step. And Terry, I'll take your comments as a motion, unless you want to reframe it.
No, that's great.
Thank you, sir. And welcome a second.
Second.
Butch, thank you for the second. Have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of moving forward with the consideration of the purchase or with the purchase of Lewis Street Transit Hub. Jordan, do you need anything else besides that?
No, that's fine. I think everyone here understands from the staff presentation that this will come back before the full commission and that will be a contingency on moving forward.
Great, but we will direct you to move forward in discussions to purchase the Lewis Street Transit Hub.
Yes.
All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify with the same. Hearing none, motion carries unanimously. And thank you all for work on that.
Thank you. We'll plan to bring this before the full commission at the next meeting, which is December the 21st. And there's no reason to wait until February. Sure. If there's I think we'll just move forward with that.
If circumstances should change or issues arise, the executive committee is available to meet. Nancy bugged out before, but I think opined she's working towards retirement and keeps extending, much to our benefit. So tell her thank you in particular. Next item is discussion of fiscal year 20 audit.
I'd like for Lee to tell you a little bit about what's going on with that and where we are with our audit.
Sure. Well, the audit has been completed, and we have full financials available if anyone would like them. I'm happy to email them, or you're welcome to stop by and have a fancy paper copy. But we the audit will be presented by our auditors, Brown and Edwards, at the full commission meeting in a couple weeks. Other than that, I'm happy to field any questions, comments, or concerns. If you have concerns, let me send the audit first, please.
Thank you, Lee.
Sure thing.
Look forward to that presentation. Sure, everything has added up correctly. Hearing no other questions, discussion of fiscal year 22 local assessment.
I just wanted to, just for your information, remind you that last year we were moving forward with increasing our assessment from 70 cents per capita to 80 cents per capita. And we had gotten support from all of our localities to move forward. We had gone up on our assessment in over 10 years, and so it was time. And then we sent out all of our request letters to all of our jurisdictions in January. And then March rolled around and the pandemic hit. And so we went back to the localities and said, we're just gonna keep it at 70 cents per capita this year because we knew it was gonna be a rough year for localities. So we kept it at 70 cents. So I just wanted to have an open discussion to see if we want to go back up to the 80 cents per capita going into fiscal year 22. We still think, you know, our expenses have continued to go up. Unfortunately, PDCs were not eligible for the local CARES money that all of our localities received. So we are still in need of raising our per capita by 10 cents. It's really nominal to each of the localities. When you know, you break it down, it will bring in approximately another $30,000 to our agency by going up 10 cents. And that money will be used, we use that to match grants, essentially, is what we do. We can take that money and leverage it and continue on. So it would be my recommendation to go back to where we were a year ago and put in a request to our localities for an 80 cents per capita assessment. But I just wanted to bring that up and see if there were any concerns or discussions about how we should move forward with that.
Thank you, Bonnie. Any members have a observation, question, endorsement?
But if this is Terry, I would just ask Bonnie, I think one of the questions I had last, I certainly don't object to doing the inquiry to the respective, you know, city managers and alike county administrators for the inquiry to see how the finances are looking. I think the thing that I had sort of shared or observed last year was the idea of an endorsement of, I think it was like a 4 or 5 year spread. And much in the way that sort of COVID has impacted everything that we are all doing, that endorsement or endorsement or commitment, however you want to look at it, that I still have reservations about doing that. I would, not to say that it's not something that we would aspire to or try to advance. That's certainly something that I think is, but I would like to kind of take it on a year by year basis. And just, I would offer that up for others to give their thoughts.
I'm sorry, Bonnie, if I may, thank you for your comments. My only concern, if you will, is that the PDC has not seen an adjustment in 11 years, but the per income capita of the region has increased at a fairly nice clip over those 11 years. And while a 10 cent jump may be hard to swallow in one gulp, if you consider it spread out over 11 years, it's quite palatable. And that's my only comment. I'm not part of this committee, of course, but I did want to make that point known.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Lee. I would just offer that, at least from an observation from a locality perspective, is that every locality is different. We have some of the lowest paid teachers and police officers in a 6-county region in the city of Waynesboro. And that happened because of Waynesboro. So we've got tremendous catch-up cost on our side. You know, as comparison, school teachers, I think on average in Stanton have enjoyed about somewhere in the neighborhood of a 9% or 13% increase over a 10-year period than teachers teaching the same kids in the city of Waynesboro. So there is absolutely an equity and inequality, I think, between how local governments have approached it. And so committing to a game plan of an incremental increase over a 4 or 5 year period, I think, gives me pause, because it's inconsistent with at least how the city of Waynesboro has operated. We have a compensation study we recently completed last year. We had hoped to implement it pre-COVID to try to start turning the ship a little bit on where we've been. And obviously we weren't able to do that. And so to be able to respond to market conditions and economic conditions, I think that's kind of why we do a budget once a year. And just offer, at least from the Waynesboro perspective, I would like to have, aspire to a 4 or 5 year rollout of compensation adjustments, fully agreeing with you. But in terms of a commitment, to do that on an annual basis.
Thank you, Terry. Any other folks have, sentiments or observations? Like to move forward with that recommendation, or of going for the 80 cents in 22? Is that your preference, or? Or has Monday Night Football started already? Just kidding.
This is Carolyn Dull. I think we were going to do the 10 cents this past year, and so it's not a surprise to anybody. I would like to think that there's maybe some more CARES money, or whatever they call the next bill, coming to states and localities, but I think the total amount is not so great that it's going to kill any locality. So my 2 cents is go ahead and explore doing that in the FY22.
And my sense is I only know intimately Lexington's experience and the budget reductions that we implemented. We're doing better than we had anticipated. So it seems like this may be a good year. Bonnie, with all due respect, a nominal increase is only depends on the seat you're sitting in, writing the check. It's significant. If you're collecting the check, it's nominal. And I completely understand where Terry's coming from. And perhaps, on one hand, since this is for matching, to be able to go to each municipality and say, gee, your matching this year is $5,000, and next year it may be $2,000 based upon the demands for those matches. But my sense is we need to be more nimble and accumulate some money and have it available for matches And this gives us that opportunity. So I would support Carolyn's observation and go to the municipalities with the 80 cent for fiscal year 22, pretty much hat in hand, however, because I know in Waynesboro, I recall, the teachers that are so poorly paid, those are the ones that are still employed. Many lost their jobs as financial stress has hit. So I'm cognizant of that and the strains that our municipalities may have relative to that.
Frank, if I may, and I can share this with everybody. Lexington, if we increase Lexington's assessment from 70 cents to 80 cents, it's an additional $1,500. Waynesboro's would be an additional $2,400. So it really is nominal when you break it down like that. And I can change, and I can share that with everybody so they can see that.
Our county friends pay the brunt of it. There's no doubt about it. Is there, do you need any further guidance or would you like a motion?
I don't think I need a motion. We'll just move forward. I'll base it on, your comments today. And Terry, I'm glad to talk with you about if we wanted to spread that out over, a certain, period of time to make it more palatable. We've done that in the past as well.
Yeah, and I support, again, exploring a one year for 2022 and taking it from the 70 to 80. I totally support that.
Okay.
So yeah, I Mike needs to be asked that question. So I don't want you to think otherwise. It was more about agreeing to compensation adjustments over a series of years and doing that now and making a commitment now. That's the thing that makes me feel a little weird.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Next item of business is other business. Anyone have anything else to bring for the good of the cause? If not, I'll leave you with the thought for the day from Anne Frank. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. And all of you, by being here today and your efforts in our communities, do that every day. So thank you for what you do. And Peter, thank you for joining us. And if there's no other business, we will stand adjourned.
I apologize for signing on late, but Comcast wouldn't be friendly tonight.
Did I? Sorry.
Technology is great when it works, not so much when it doesn't. So, excellent.
Thank you all. We'll see you on December 21st.
All right.
Good seeing you. Thank you.
Take care. Be safe.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.